A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this will all men know you are my disciples. You have love one for another. I swear, I was singing that only like a couple of weeks ago, and here we are today, revisiting that scripture. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord, my Rock, my Redeemer. Amen. So we've heard this just now at the end of the gospel reading, that commandment that Jesus gave on that night of the Passover. I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And it bears saying it again and again. Love one another. Follow Jesus' example to love the other. It is not a suggestion or a recommendation. A new commandment I give to you, says Jesus. A commandment no less. My Archbishop back in New Zealand, Te Aotearoa New Zealand, I've heard him say this for this particular scripture. We do not have to like each other, but we're commanded to love one another. Why in this short reading do we focus on love? Because when we strip away everything else in our faith, it is at the very core of our relationship with God. It's so central to who we are and what we do that perhaps it goes without saying a little too often. It is possible that we can drift away from this commandment to love far more easily than we like to admit. What does it look like when we love one another? Think about Peter's predicament in the reading we just heard from Acts. He was struggling to know what to do when it came to non-Jewish people coming to faith in Jesus. We know that Jerusalem was a metropolitan centre, a hub of trade and visited by people of many backgrounds, ethnicities and religions. Why, even the temple design made provision for it, that there is a specific area called the Court of the Gentiles, which allowed the non-Jewish people to visit the temple without defiling its holy place. So, people were hearing about Jesus and believing in him without any Jewish background or faith. Peter didn't know how to interact with these people. He was brought up to steer clear of those outside his religion because of the strict requirements of the law. But now he was no longer a fisherman, minding his own business amongst his own people. Now he was the leader of an emerging religion, the one that others looked to for leadership, the one Jesus entrusted the mission to when he had left his disciples for the last time. Peter needed to find a way to make sense of all of this and the dream he had. The answer to his prayers of worry and concern came in the form of food, an invitation to share a meal with those from whom he differed so much. That is what it looks like when we love one another. We let them into our life and receive hospitality from them, as well as showing hospitality to them. But people worried about Peter's actions. They worried that he was turning his back on who he was and that God would be angry with him for breaking the law in order to eat with the Gentiles. Even among his closest friends, there would have been those who advised against letting the Gentiles in. We can't quite understand that today. The power of the law to determine who we should associate with and who we should avoid. But that was what Peter faced. We can only wonder if the words of Jesus from today's gospel came back to Peter as he met with the Gentiles. Did he remember that Jesus had left him this one new commandment to love, and that loving means accepting, valuing, and including the ones we love? There have been over the decades a tragic litany of ethnic, religious, and political hatred and violence. Today, our hearts are full of sadness and pain as we see pictures of the continued horrors enacted in Ukraine and Gaza. How could people who were living side by side suddenly turn to such communal bloodletting? How could people who only a week before his death were waving palms and shouting Hosanna suddenly gang up against Jesus? Jealousy? Fear. Soon the word spread like an epidemic. Soon their bloodlust was roused and they were shouting, crucify him. What about Jesus' gang, his disciples? We'll fight back. And in the garden, one of them got out a knife and cut off a slave's right ear. No, no, that's what Jesus says. No, don't do that. This is where it stops with me. This terrible, destructive cycle of revenge and retribution, I refuse to pass on the violence, the hatred, and the sin. It stops here in my body. I hate no person. I will not hit you back. I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, even unto death upon the cross. So have we got it? Do we truly understand and carry out Jesus' commandment to love one another? We do it when we share our time, talents, and income with those in need of our help. We do it when we make sacrifices that leave ourselves a little worse off somehow, but benefit another. We do it when we show kindness or trust towards another, even though that makes us a little more vulnerable as a result. We do it each time we have a smile or a generous word to offer another. Each time we carry out the commandment in these and many other ways, we reflect God's love towards us, to the world, and it shows those who have not yet known it a glimpse of what is possible. But we don't always do it. Sometimes we don't feel we have anything to offer, so we withhold our time, talents, and income. Sometimes we're unwilling to make sacrifices, particularly if we think the person to benefit may not deserve it. We hear the world tell us to be strong and look after number one, so it's rare that we really make ourselves vulnerable to another. And we're so busy at times. Even a smile and a kind word can be too much for us to share. Surely we all recognize ourselves in both lists. But just as the love we show reflects God's love, so does the love we withhold reflect something too. It tells those who encounter us when we fall short of God's commandment that we struggle to practice what our religion preaches. It reflects poorly on the church of which we are members, and it causes people who have yet to encounter the risen Christ to be less keen to do so. We have been showered with myriad blessings through our faith in God, but those blessings we enjoy come with some consequences, not instigated by God, but by other people. And Jesus saw it coming. The thing that made Jesus different and fascinating and attractive to those who were looking for guidance was his willingness and ability to accept and show love to people from all walks of life. He was as comfortable eating dinner with Pharisees and scribes as he was sitting at a well and chatting with a Samaritan woman. When people in the secular world pass judgment on Christianity, it is not Jesus that they have a problem with, generally, but those who have come after him in his name. We are held to account by the world each time we fail to keep this commandment. We thank God that we are not held accountable by God each time we stumble. By grace we have been saved, by grace we are forgiven. But the commandment still stands. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." On that night, before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. This morning, we take bread and do this in remembrance of him. On that Passover night, he longed to share that last meal with them because he loved them, even though that evening one of them was going to betray him. He loved them. Even though that evening one of them in anger and hatred would attack a man with a knife, he loved them. Even though, having spent years in his company, they were still consumed with pride and petty jealousies, he loved them. Luke in his gospel tells us that even at the most sacred moment after Jesus had fed them with the bread and wine, the disciples immediately start arguing again as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. In spite of this, he still loved them, and he loved them to the end. That night of the Passover, he didn't just say the words. He showed us how to love in this new, radical way. Perhaps in response to the disciples arguing about who was the greatest, John in his gospel, prior to the verses we heard today, told us that Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around him, and washed his disciples' feet. Those who had just been arguing about who was to be the greatest are humbled by the sight of their Lord kneeling before them. He doesn't just say the words, he shows us. The next day, he showed us to the uttermost how much he loves us. His robe is again taken off, this time by soldiers. They strip him and beat him and mock him, and he's lifted high upon the cross. Even now in agony and desolation, he refused to hit back, to retaliate, to pass on the contagion of evil and sin. He took it all upon himself. Instead of a curse, he uttered gracious words of love. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." On that Passover night, each one of us are invited to have our feet washed on what is known as Maundy Thursday. Each one of us are also invited to receive our Lord in the sacrament of bread and wine. Both of those, the foot washing and the giving of bread and wine, are powerful signs enacted by Jesus on that night, the eve of his crucifixion. Both those signs have the power to change us, to convert us, to give us the gift of that new, radical, self-giving love, and to help us pass it on to others. When we're having our feet washed, it's an opportunity to see Jesus kneeling at our feet in divine humility and ask him to forgive our sinful pride. If you in turn kneel to wash the feet of another, it's an opportunity to ask for grace that you may live your life in that way, and self-giving service to others. When you receive the body and blood of Christ, see the broken body and shed blood of Jesus hanging on the cross for you, uttering those astonishing words of love and forgiveness. Love so amazing, so divine. It's an opportunity to ask God to take away our brokenness, our unwillingness to forgive, our stored up resentments, our anger, our pride, our petty jealousies that can so easily infect our hearts. Ask for forgiveness and grace to forgive those who have hurt you because Jesus loves us. On that night before he died for us, Jesus gave us a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. May we recognize that love in our own lives as we continue to aspire to follow Jesus' commandment in every circumstance. And where we fail to find it, may we be inspired anew to show our discipleship and faith through the love we display one to another. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have given us a new commandment to love one another as you have loved us. Help us to understand the depth and power of this commandment. Grant us the grace to love our neighbours, our friends, and even our enemies, not just with words, but with actions. Help us to be a light in the world, reflecting your love for others. And may our lives be a testament to your love, so that all who see us may know that we are your disciples because of our love for one another. Amen.